What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network. BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Friend of the show, Coach Eric Martin, South Carolina State Bulldogs, out of Orangeburg, South Carolina. Coach, how life over there in NC State did this today, my brother?
Oh, it's going well once I get this computer stuff taken care of, man. I need help. When I was at West Virginia, we had a secretary that would help me with all this. And only secretary in this office is me. So I think we're good. But, yeah, everything's good. We're still waiting on a couple guys to come in, get cleared compliance-wise. But I'm happy with the class we brought in, and I'm looking forward to having a better year than last year.
No doubt, man. And Coach Martin, you know, you can get so close, man. We talk about it every year about coming to the show, getting to that tournament, man. You get to that scope, man. You get close every year, man. Let's talk about just being able to be in that conversation. Going to Norfolk Scope, being a part of them, that eight up there that can make it to the tournament every year, man. Just seeing how your guys play and then the grind. I know you coach them hard as heck, but they still play for you come February and March.
Yeah, and that's where we that's the difficult time when you bring these new guys in. I got 10 newcomers. You're coming from 10 different places. It's hard to tell those guys, hey, forget everything you learned from your previous coach, because what I'm going to teach is going to be nothing like him. But that's why we bring them in the summer, to be able to teach them some things, obviously to get them in the weight room. And they take classes, which will probably help them with their progress toward degree as they move through college. So it's a win-win. It's just the summer is the time to be patient, because you are getting rid of bad habits and you're having to redo their grid of, hey, this is what my defense is. I know your coach said push them to the middle. I don't like pushing them to the middle. I want them going anywhere but the middle. So it takes time. And if I'm listening to my coaches, I've been more patient this year than the previous year. So I guess I'm getting a little bit better.
Hey, Coach, we're all trying to do patience days. I'm trying to learn patience myself, Coach. You know that, man. And like you said, it's a different language, Coach. Like, you may call ice blue. You may call hard heads red and something different. They use some. Talk about that piece that people don't understand, that it's a different language. It's all basketball, but different language of basketball, to learning what your scheme is, your terminology is, and getting that old, like you said, out of your system.
Yeah. We also do a lot of film work. We tape our practices, all our practices. So I just had my freshman point guard and watching some film with him. But, yeah, every coach, you have 363 Division I schools. I bet you everyone has a different name for a hard hedge. Everyone has a different name for trapping a ball screen or something. So my job is to – not just my job, but my staff is to get them to just muscle memory and brain memory. And what I told my guy that just left is, what you'll realize is once you learn how to do it right, you'll be doing the same thing every day. It'll just be out of a different situation. So to be totally honest with you, most of the guys that come from high school or JUCO or prep, their coach wasn't asking them to play defense. That's the number one issue. They were asking them to get buckets. I'm asking them to do both. So we spend in the summer, I'd say we are 70, 75, 25, maybe even 80, 20 defense to offense, because I don't care how good you scored. If you can't get stops, you're not winning anything when it matters. And we got some big hitters on the schedule. I can't announce them now because I don't have the contracts back. But as usual, we are playing our 4-5 power four, power five conference schools. And so we don't just go in there to pick up a check. We go in there to compete and try and get a win.
No, Coach, like you said, man, like defense is something that travels every night.
Defense and rebounding.
You might not make shots, but if you play defense, play hard, hustle, rebound, you have a chance. You got a chance just a little bit. Get easy baskets that way. Because we all know it's make or miss a lot of time on offense being floor. But it's make it hard for them too. So
yes,
that doing what you're doing, Coach, make them defense, making them focus on the size of the floor, you have a chance every night.
Yeah. Well, as you said, defense and rebounding travel, you're not going to make shots. And as I tell them fellas, you get it, you learn it now, because when games start, I can only put five guys out there. And if you're not doing what I'm asking, you're probably not going to be out there long. So one, you got to teach them your philosophy. You got to teach them your language. But I think one thing I've been big on, I'm teaching them accountability in the summer. Hey, fellas, for every action, there is a reaction. If you miss class and I find out about it, you're going to be up early in the morning running. If you miss class again, then we're going to start taking games from you. But my job is not just to win games. It's to graduate you, get you to graduate from college, and teach you some accountability. Because as you know, in the real world, if you have no accountability and no discipline, you have nothing. You have nothing in life. Unless you hit the lotto or you're one of those rappers or actresses that just come in the loop. But if you're just a regular Joe like you and me, got to be held accountable, and you discipline is the word I am pushing big time with my team this summer.
No doubt, Coach. And Coach, discipline also goes into the fact of what you do after you get out of practice. Are you out partying all night? Are you doing your studies? Are you out in places you shouldn't be? You know, because I've been there. I've been eating in Balo's age. Me and you a little older than they are, but we've been there. And
just a little bit.
Making those right decisions matter. Sleep matters to your recovery, your rehab, and your prehab. What you put in your body. Do you eat past a certain time of night so that's sitting on your body's fat? So it's about that piece, the discipline of those other things off the court that young men must have to play for you successful in life.
Yeah, that's what Division I's have that most preps, JUCOs, or high schools don't have. We have someone who is in they're totally responsible for making them bigger and stronger. And we have a nutritionist. We just got a nutritionist last year that will come in a couple times a year and say, you know, preseason, you're good eating this. But when you get into in season, stay away from the soda. Stay away from this. Make sure you're eating potatoes, rice, things that are going to give you energy, pasta. So I think that's the shocker for these new guys, is that, fellas, it's way more serious than you think. And I've also had to have this conversation with my team. Fellas, I know everyone thought they were just going to come in and kill it, but this is Division I basketball. It is the fourth best league in the world. It's NBA, overseas, G League, Division I. You're playing against pros who are now being compensated as such. So taking care of your body, as you said, make sure you do the right things off the court, getting your rest, making sure you stay hydrated. But you know, I'm not going to be a total hypocrite. I had a lot of fun in college. So I make sure and tell my kids, you can have fun and still take care of your business. It's all about time management. And that is the first conversation I have when we have our meeting, when they get here in the summer, is time management. Is I call it the triple eight theory. You got 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours to work, the other 8 hours for you to do whatever you want. If 8 hours isn't enough for you to do whatever you want in your free time, you need to back up and look at how you're living life, because 8 hours is enough to – I don't want to go into all the things you can do, but you young people know what you like doing. You got 8 hours to do that in a day. Don't let that spill over into your sleep time. Definitely don't let that spill over into your academic study hall, practice, getting in and getting extra shots. But yeah, it's enough time, but no one really teach kids how to manage time until they get to college. And sometimes it ends bad more than it should, because I don't think coaches talk to kids enough about time management. That's another skill you're going to need in life.
Yes, time management, some Coach Martin, I didn't learn in my junior year at Tennessee State. It took me 2 years.
I didn't learn that until I had a kid. Before that, I'm single. I can go wherever I want, bounce around, had a little money in my pocket. Once I had a child, my daughter, Amaya, yeah, she regulated. When she was with me, she regulated things. My schedule became her schedule when she came and we were together. So, but I think it's something we all will learn. You just hope someone teaches it to you and you don't have to learn it the hard way.
Coach, I got a follow-up question off what you just said. I've asked you this question before, but having a kid and being a coach, how does that complicate matters when you got what time to your players, but also having a kid and a family at home? Like, how does it kind of figure out that work-life balance between work with the players at the university and my wife and kids at home?
Yeah, well, my wife and I, we just celebrated our 16th anniversary and my daughter's 14, so although his dad being gone for half of the year recruiting or seeing him on TV. So I make sure as soon as the season's over, I ask my wife and daughter, where you guys want to go? Just tell me the date so I can put on my schedule. So we got a chance to go to Hollywood, Florida and hang out there in May. And then we just got back a couple weeks ago from Gatlinburg. So I'm familiar with how this works. My wife does a great job of taking care of home because I'm gone most of the time. But there are some benefits with being a coach's wife. I think if you ask most wives, they'd say, yeah, it's some benefits, but there's some downside because I'm not around. But, hey, you ask any coach, his wife knew what she was getting into when she married or got together with someone who is in our business because, really, you are going to be gone at least a third or half of the year with recruiting, games, working on yourself, trying to move ahead in the business. You got to do some professional advancement things you need to go to. So I'm grateful. I'm thankful to the good Lord that my wife is still here. This is a crazy, crazy business. And every coach you talk to will probably tell you the same thing.
Oh, it is, Coach, man. It is, man. And Coach, for listeners who haven't heard us talk before, let's talk about how this program is growing needs to up their tutelage from 2022 to now. Because I know when you got there, it was a rough situation, and now you've got established. Last year, one of you wanted to have, but you were 7-7 in the MEAC. But talk about the growth in the program and what you've seen since you've taken over with the culture you've developed there.
Yeah, well, I've been fortunate to have this job. I was previously at West Virginia for 15 years, so. It's a big difference between getting on chartered planes and getting cookies and milk at the end or just getting on a 6-hour bus ride. And those bus rides, they beat Coach Martin up a little bit more than they did a few years ago. But yeah, we've grown. I think the university, the athletic department is the one who you got to give kudos to because teams don't win championships. Administrations do. And there's so many little things that happen during the day or during the year that, hey, I need this. I need this now. I don't need this next week. I need this now. And maybe because I've been here longer and I'm a little bit more familiar with the campus, the community, I've made friends. I've made, you know, contacts with people who kind of know what's coming. Hey, Coach, I know it's that time of the year, summer school. Why don't you get in your requisition? Just the longer you're somewhere, you know this, boss man, the longer you're at a place, the more comfortable you are, the more comfortable your family is, the more comfortable the people in the city are, people on campus. And we had that 1 year where we didn't win the MEAC. So, you know, winning brings about more fans. So, but my program is built on defense, rebounding, and toughness. Those are the three things that I've been fortunate enough to, while working with Coach Huggins, see how he does things. And I've been to two Final Fours, once as a player, once as a coach. Both teams were elite, elite defensively and elite rebounding, especially offensively. I'm starting my fifth year. Three of my four first years, I've been top four in the United States of America in offensive rebounding. And if we're going to be good this year, I'm going to be in the top four or five again.
No doubt. And Coach, I said, well, I remember the first time I met you at Tennessee State back when you first got there. You came along because we shook hands that day, Coach.
You know how people say the good old days? Those were the bad old days, man. I lost 26 games that year. And to be honest, and I know where I read it. You know, sometimes when bad things happen in your life, that's really the beginning of good things happening in your life. And even though that 5-26 season, it was brutal. I really had to step back and look at how are you doing things? Let's change some things. And you know what, Eric, don't be afraid to listen to your coaches. I know Bob Huggins once said, Eric, I'm not saying you have to listen to your assistant coaches all the time, but that's why you have assistant coaches, to bounce some of their ideas off your brain. And if they have a good idea, go with it. Don't, it's not my program. It's South Carolina State's program. And I'm sure the fans are happy when we win. And whether it's my idea, my assistant coaches, or one of my players' idea, I don't care as long as I get the win.
And coach, I'm going to turn over to my interns. I'm going to Eden go first and Balo answer some questions. So Eden, fire away, Coach Martin.
Hi, so nice to meet you.
How you doing, Eden?
Great. Before I ask my first question, I have to say, you mentioned Gatlinburg. I love Gatlinburg. I used to go
there
Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. I got a lot of nieces and nephews that are growing up, and they love the, what's the name of that thing? Like, I don't remember the name of the water park. Something smoky or something water park. Mm-hmm. They love playing miniature golf, riding the Grand Prix. They love eating, so we do Paula Dean. Some of the other places, but yeah, that's, we go there every 3 out of 4 years. It's really a good place.
Okay. First question. I read that you encourage your players to be role models in the community. How have you seen them live that out, live that responsibility out on and off the court?
Yeah, so we turn over our team so much every year, this own group of guys. But if I was talking about last year's guys, I had 5 guys that returned from the previous year when we won the MEAC. So those guys were kind of known in the community. And I'm big on going to elementary schools and just taking my kids in there and speaking to the classroom. And I tell them, fellas, if you ever plan on having a really good job in life, like really good job, good paying job, you're going to need to learn how to speak in front of people. What better way to practice it than to speak in front of 5 or 6 year olds that have no idea that you're messing up when you're messing up? So it's kind of like it helps them. And it's important in Orangeburg. I doubt you've ever been to Orangeburg. Very small country town. Football is king here, and it should be. They've won, I think, 9 national championships. So for me to get my program out, I got to be more boots on the ground, people seeing me, touching me, shaking hands, not just a phone call, not just a text. You got to be proactive. And I think this is a great place for me to start. If I'm fortunate enough to go to another place, I think I have the community service and getting in the community. I think I got that down pat, although each city has its own little nuances of how they support the university.
Nice, nice. How did the experience from West Virginia help prepare you to lead your own program at SC State?
I don't think it helped me at all, to be honest. It tricked me. But to be honest, yeah, it helped me because I'm working with a Hall of Famer, Coach Huggins, who I also played for at University of Cincinnati. But I tell this to anyone who's an assistant coach. Hey, man, I don't care what you have learned. You cannot learn how to be a head coach until you are actually named head coach, and all the stuff that comes with being a head coach is now on your plate. I got hired late in the process. I think it was June 17th is when I got on campus in 2022. We started school on August 17th. So in that month, I had to get a staff, find players, find a place to live, find a place for my daughter to go to school, learn the community. It was truly a tsunami. But at the end of the day, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I mean, just knowing when to call a timeout, going with your gut, you really can only learn that when you become a head coach. I mean, I know there are guys named coaches. This is my associate coach. And if something went wrong with me, the associate coach would take over. Yeah, even if he does, until you have your own program and it's in your hands, you really don't understand how much comes with being a coach. For instance, if I was an assistant coach, I coached the big guys. So I dealt with 4 or 5 guys. That was my group. As a coach, I deal with everybody, and I delegate now to where my 3 coaches, one has the big, one has the wing, one has the guard. Well, I don't necessarily need to do workouts. That's their job. I sit there and say, hey, here's what we need to work on. Or I'll watch film and practice and say, hey, guards, you need to work on this. But it's a lot more delegating. And that's the hardest thing. The hardest thing for me was learning how to delegate, because I'm one of those guys where, okay, I need this done. I can ask him, or I can just do it myself. I'm just going to do it myself because I know what I want. That's really not how you do it. You gotta delegate, and you gotta trust those guys to do it the way they do it. I don't want 3 Eric Martins on my staff. I want different personalities, different sense of humor, different. And that was the part when I got better at that. I was becoming a better head coach, at South Carolina University. Just learning how to delegate and let him do it, Eric. I know you want to do it a certain. Let him do it. You told him to do it. When he brings it back done, he did it his way. If it's not right, just tell him. And that, for me, that was the toughest part. Learning how to delegate to my assistants. Everything else, you learn as you go through it. But delegating was really my toughest thing to learn as a head coach.
Okay. Having new people come into your team every year, what is something you say to set the tone for the team?
Set the tone for the team. Good question.
Thank you.
Well, once again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but with the first speech comes the accountability, the 3-8s, time management, and fellas, we're about toughness. Like, we are the underdog all the time. Even in the MEAC, we're the underdog. I think we have, as Boss Man said, we've gained a measure of respect in the South because of how we play teams and play the, you know, my teams play hard and physical. But, yeah, we're the underdogs, and we need to perform like underdogs. We need to be in the gym more than anyone else. We need to be working on our craft. We need to be getting with coaches and watching film. I know when I was younger, an old man said, son, you live in Southern California. When you're done working out, ask yourself this question. Is the kid in Texas or New York, are they done working out? And if they are done, are they coming back? So it's kind of a, you cannot be comfortable and get better. And that is so, for this generation, it's so, I don't know. This generation is one of, everyone wants to be in their comfort zone. That's not how you get better. Think about it. If you're going to lift weights and put on muscles, you're going to tear up your body, but it's going to build up because it's growing. Life's the same thing. You're going to have tough times in life. And, I want to teach them how to deal with those tough times. You don't have to resort to drugs, alcohol, or doing something. Hey, man, I'm here to teach you how to be a grown man. It'd be nice if I won some games, but at the end of the day, hopefully 20 years from now, you'll come back with your kids and say, hey, this was my coach in college. It's really hard on me, really hard on me, but I'm glad he was a part of my life. That's almost as good as wins to me, but I do need to win to keep my job.
You really built those lifelong connections as a coach, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think that was done with me. I still communicate with some of my coaches from college and some of the guys I played with in college. So this is the last 4 free years of their life. I tell them that. You guys don't have to play basketball. You get to play basketball. Mm-hmm. There are 100,000 kids that would love to trade spots with you. You have your scholarship. You have your academics paid for. You have your room paid for. You eat for free. You get to travel. Come in. You get to travel. You get to do everything that's free. So that's what I try and every day before practice. Hey, we get to practice. You don't have to practice. We get to practice.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, I'm going to pass it off.
How you doing, Coach?
How you doing, brother?
So, well, one thing, you coached one of my friends, Mitchell Taylor, and to see that.
Still here. He's still here. Yeah.
To see that he actually plays a little defense now is a huge just speaks on you.
Oh yeah, he knows you're not getting the game if you can't check your guy.
Yep.
And now then, he's one of our better defenders.
Exactly.
And as I said earlier, man, no one really tells these guys that are scoring all these points, and I don't need you to play defense. I need you to score and stay out of foul trouble so you can keep scoring. Well, Division I is a totally different animal. You need to do both. Gotcha. You need to do both.
And my first question would be, what's the best coaching advice a coach has actually given you? Because you said that you still, you know, speak to some of your former coaches or like, you know, so like what's something that they told you that, you know, that you still, you know, listen to now or like that you used?
Be yourself. Be yourself. I think if you ask most of the guys who have played for me as a head coach, they'd say Coach Martin is very transparent. You don't have to worry about him beating around the bush and, you know, he's going to shoot it to you straight. And that's what Coach Huggins did with me. Although if you were to speak with Coach Huggins, he'd tell you I had a lot of issues with the way he used to speak with me back in the day. But, hey, back in the day, they let you speak to kids a little bit more forceful. Boss Man, is that the right word?
Yeah, forceful.
Forceful, yeah, forceful. Nowadays, I don't think you could get away with the amount of adjectives Coach Huggins was throwing at me back in 1991 through 93. But I must have rubbed off on him the right way, because he ended up hiring me and I worked with him for 16 years. So, but yeah, be yourself. Be yourself. Don't try and be someone you're not. Before I became a coach, I got to teach for 3 years, and it was the best job I could have had. One thing I learned about kids, man, kids don't care about anything unless they know you care about them.
Yeah.
And if you're real, word will spread. Yo, don't mess around and coach Mr. Martin's class. Oh, he don't play that. You better, yeah, just be yourself. That's who I am. I don't think I'm a disciplinarian, but my mother taught for 40 years. So some of that had to trickle down to me and how I do things.
Definitely. My next question would be, oh man, hold on. My mind just went blank.
You're all right. Take your time, brother.
Dang, I just had it. My next question would be, okay, so since you play in the MEAC, right, and it's a lot of like hard-nosed, snotty basketball, what type of player are you looking for when you're recruiting a player? Like, that you know when he gets to your school, and let's say y'all go play y'all rival, and you know they're going to be ready. Like, what intangibles are you looking for when you're recruiting a kid?
Just guys that who are really competitors. You know, guys tend to think every time you go see them play that they have to score well. I'll be honest with you. If I'm recruiting a high school kid and I go see the AAU game, I want to see him play a bad game. I do. Because I want to see how he reacts when he comes off the court. Are you still engaged with your coach when your coach is talking to you? Are you giving him eye contact? Or are you sitting on the end of the bench pouting because you're not playing well? I'm checking that guy's name off the list right away. You're going to have bad games. You're going to have bad games in college. No one's going to play 33 great games. Even the – I don't know who the player of the year was last year. Bet you didn't have 33 great games, 32 great games. You're going to have bad games. How do you handle it? And I want to see guys who make their players better. When you have a team, you got a lot of roles. So, obviously, I'm going to need someone who can go get a bucket. I need three-point shooters. I need guys who – there are a bunch of roles. But if I'm recruiting, really I'm looking for guys that play hard, look like they're good teammates. And because I have no NIL, I'm never going to get the best player on an AAU team that I'm watching. Never. Everyone else has more NIL money than me. I have zero NIL money. So when I'm watching the team, if it's someone I like and he's killing it, I just check his name off the list. I don't have the money for him. So I check his name off and then look for someone else on the team, maybe who's a unsung hero. Got to be creative when you have no NIL.
Definitely.
A quick question for you. So did you go to school with Mitch or you played with Mitch?
Oh, no. Nah. So I've been playing against Mitch for like years, since middle school. So
what high school did you go to?
I went to Creekside in Georgia.
Yeah. Okay.
He ended up going to Westlake his senior year, and yep. we played each other senior year, and they had a great team. They had a better team. So like, yeah, they got the best of us. But when he came back, so he went to Middle Georgia Prep, then he went to South Carolina
State. Yep. Yep.
So when he came back after that first year in South Carolina State, and we was at LA Fitness, we was going at it. And I could just tell, I'm like, bro, he's moving different. Like, he had developed into such a better player. And I was like, that motivated me to go get in the gym like even more. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing what you can do when you tell a kid he's going to sit on that bench during the game and not going to come off that bench. They, boy, they're the motivation that I was motivated like that by my coach.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Huggins, you're not playing if you don't play defense. Man, I scored a ball. Every coach I've had in my life said that, whatever. And sure enough, he sat me on that bench. Hey, I went and had a meeting the next day. Okay, that's never going to happen again. Tell me what I need to do to play. Play defense. Never had to repeat that. And to be honest, if you look at the great teams, Michigan, the two previous years, Florida, Connecticut, those guys all defend and rebound the ball. Yeah, they have guys who can score. They got pros. But you're not advancing if you don't get stops. That is college basketball. And to be honest, that's basketball in general. In general. Let's look at the Knicks and the San Antonio series. San Antonio had the lead the whole time. The Knicks got stops and were scoring every time down. It starts with defense and rebound if you're talking about winning championships. And that's really all I'm about.
And Coach Moore, I got one more follow-up question before you wrap up, Coach. You mentioned about teaching guys about time management in college. Now, we want to add this to financial literacy to Coach Martin, because
yes.
I was the poster child of, I had 12 credit cards leaving Tennessee State because I was on the day they had the credit card companies to get you a t-shirt and pizza. I sent them all 12 of them. I can tell me. So with NIL money, these guys don't understand there's a financial piece to it. You have to pay tax on this money too. So talk about financial literacy, what you're a guy trying to teach these guys about not getting credit card debt, making right with their money so they don't end up like me leaving school with 12 credit cards. Now I'm out of debt now because I got a good job, but you get my point.
Right.
I was messed up for a little while.
It's funny you say that because tomorrow we have a financial literacy speaker coming in to speak to all the athletes that are on campus. And once again, I don't have NIL, so I don't have that issue. But I do try and tell the guys, hell, it's your money. You know, obviously you've earned it. You can spend it how you want it. But I'm sure your parents have said this at one point when you were younger. Don't spend it all in one place. Like, put some away. Hey, this is for spending. This is so I could just put some away monthly, whether it's $150. Learn how to save. Man, we all want to think we're going to be rich in life, and that is not the case. A lot of people live in check to check. And so, unfortunately, that forces you to learn how to manage your money. We try and teach them, and once again, I have no NIL, but I've spoken to coaches at other bigger colleges, and they tell their guys, hey, man, I'm big on telling our guys, take a third, the third is your half, take another third, put it away, and take another third, and just do something for the people in your family. Because sometimes people tend to forget, if you're getting a lot of money like some of these guys are, someone help you get to this spot. Your mama, your daddy, your aide, somebody, man. Don't just say, I'm going to spend all this money on me. Do something for someone else, man. Plant some goodness into the ground and watch what comes up. Watch what you reap. That's what the good book says. You reap what you sow. So I didn't have to worry about having 20, 30, 50. When I see kids making $2 million in college, I cannot wrap my mind around having. If I had that in college, I wouldn't have this job. I don't know where I would be because I'm telling you, I was not the most accountable. Is that the right word? That's the word of the day. I was not the most accountable person in college. And with that type of money, I guarantee you things would have gone wrong. And they would have gone wrong fast.
Coach, what's crazy about it is I had to sneak and get money from Booster to Tennessee State. Now it's legal.
Right.
I had to sneak and get money from certain people. I was an ultimate every game, Coach, to be real. I say ultimate every game.
I'm happy that this generation is getting the money. I do speak with some of my teammates and say, hey, man, Cincinnati wasn't nothing until we got there. They should be, what do they call it, reparations. Let's just enjoy the reparations of seeing these younger generation riding around. These guys got nicer cars than me, man. Like, you go to some of these schools. We played Tennessee last year. Game day, we pulled under there. Man, you would have thought we were at an NBA, the type of whips these guys have. And, you know, good for them. Good for them. I'm all for them spreading the money around.
No doubt. Coach Martin, thank you for doing this for being my interns, man. I hope you enjoyed their questions. I hope you enjoyed this time with us on the show, man. I always enjoy having you on the show, Coach Martin. You're one of my good friends of mine in the business. So thank you so much, brother. You just don't know how much I appreciate you.
Hey, give them my number and email. If you guys are ever in the area, you want to watch practice or come to a game, let me know. Let me know. I got you.
Definitely. I sure will, Coach.
Yep. Sounds good. Appreciate you having me. Good luck, you guys, moving forward.
Yes, sir.
Nice meeting you.
All right, boss, man.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.